Welcome to Worst
Welcome
Ever Podcast.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I
am your host, Christine Lakin.
Khaled.
Oh my God.
What?
Can we never get a clean opening?
No, that is the opening.
We are currently recording in my closet.
Because Christine...
What?
Because doesn't have the technology to have her own studio.
Well, I don't. And we don't have Stephen Ray Morris for this opening, and we needed to record another opening. So because here we are. And I'm sitting, literally, I'm in my wedding dress, and Allah is sitting on my shoes. And
well,
he might be getting lice.
You're sitting on your wedding dress.
Sitting on my wedding dress.
Yeah.
And you're probably getting lice infestation in all of our
lice.
Costumes.
Listen, here's a story, just so you know. So this week, I got a call from my friend, and I was at her house with her kids, and I was playing with her daughter, who ended up having lice.
Ugh.
Yes. So I got a call the next day from the hair wizards, because it's a lice specialist in Encino. You should look them up.
Delicious.
And they're all there, and they said, you should probably come down to get checked.
Oh, God.
So I got my keys, ran out the door, totally left my wallet, the whole bit, because I was like, that's the one thing I've never had in my life, nor do I ever want to get, is lice. I get there, there's two women.
The wizards?
The wizards. And I said, right when I opened the door, I go, I need the fucking head wizard right now. And everyone busted out laughing because I was like, no, seriously, I need it now because I can't, I'm going to freak out if I have lice. Turns out, I do not have lice.
Thank God.
I think about 7 out of the 12 people had lice.
Oh, my God.
I did not. I'm going for, you have to go for a second treatment just for precautionary purposes to make sure none of the microscopic eggs turn into actual eggs. So I'm on my way there right after this opening.
Yeah, right after you infect our costumes with your microscopic eggs.
So I will be at the hair wizard this afternoon. I got their shampoo and conditioner. And I have to tell you, the conditioner is fucking amazing.
Really?
It's really good.
Just like a total side.
It's all natural. This conditioner is unreal.
Wow.
I was like texting everyone. We have a group text about our lice.
And
I was
lice
like, it's the lice group. And I was like, dude, this fucking conditioner is insane.
Oh my God.
So I might buy an extra bottle
with me. Yeah, you should just hopefully get some lice just so you can go in and get the conditioner.
Well, I hope I don't get lice. We're having a whole competition.
I hope my wedding dress doesn't have lice.
I hope you don't have lice and your kids.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
But you have maggots.
We do have maggots. Oh,
yeah.
God.
So that's better, right?
I was just going to say, the only thing worse than lice is crabs, which I've never had, but gross. And the only thing worse than crabs is maggots. Like, we were having the nicest morning. We had a cuddle fest. It was so lovely. The baby got up. I was taking a shower, and I hear, oh, my God. And I'm like, what? What? What happened? Thinking the dog pooped or vomited or something. Brandon's like, maggots! We have maggots! I don't know what is going on in our trash area in the pantry. This is the second time this has happened. Something in the trash is being infected, and then when you open the trash door, and it's just like a maggot fest. It's so gross. He was gagging this morning. It was awful. I just took a shower because I was like, I can't go in there.
By the way, we are going to get to part two of Kelly Sullivan.
Yeah.
But I have one more little story to tell you.
Okay, what?
So I got a text this afternoon from Nicole Tom.
No.
Yeah. And the text, I'm going to read you the text because this is how random it was.
Okay.
She writes,
oh no.
Are you available July 15th to help Nikki out? I need your face. I wrote back, Nikki? And then she took a screenshot of this. I'll show you, Christina, and I'll send it to you.
What is that?
It's like some crystals.
At 11:11
And
the
that's
dog?
My text, right?
Okay.
And she spelled my name wrong, obviously. And she spelled me like God. And then she wrote back, yes, that's good luck. And then I wrote back question mark. So
what?
Yeah. So I had to like get in the car and know that I have a few minutes to talk to her because I can't like.
I don't even understand what that means.
I didn't either. So then I call her ass and I'm like, okay. Nicole, are you accidentally texting me or what is, I don't know what any of this means. She was like, hi,
oh, no.
Oh my God, remember that pilot I'm writing that I've been writing? So she's like talking about this show that she's been writing, whatever. Well, they're going to shoot it, and they got a real DMV office in Glendale. She's going to shoot, I guess, like a sizzle for the pilot. She needs my eyes because they're expressive and whatever. And I was like, I'm sorry, Nicole. I'll be in New York at that time. And she's like, oh, well. I go, well, you should ask Christine.
Why do you drag me into
She's like,
things?
Well, it's kind of an extra thing, but we're going to have a taco truck. And I go, she goes, but I want everyone to be in the show. And I go, well, Christine, I mean, my eyes are obviously more expressive than Christine's.
Oh, my God.
But she's, you know, I'm sure she'd be, you know, as many favors as you've done for her, I'm sure she'd be willing to do it for you.
Thank
she's
you.
Like, you think so? I was like, yeah, text her later today.
Oh, God. If I get a text with some crystals at 11:11.
You'll be getting a text with some crystals. And then she goes, but, you know, I'm really looking for ethnic people because it's in the DMV office. And I go, here's what I would do, Nicole. I'd wig Christine, dark hair, and she's ethnic.
No.
She's like, oh, my God, you think she'd do it? I'm like, absolutely she'd do it.
I'm going to kill you.
So you'll be getting a call today from Nicole Tom.
The one thing I don't want to do is go to the DMV. The other thing I don't want to do is go film in the DMV.
Well, the DMV is going to be closed.
Oh, well, that makes it all better.
But the best part was that she had to explain to me her best friend, I think his name is Robbie or something like that.
Yeah, Robbie.
Okay. She goes, and guess what? Robbie's going to play a homeless guy outside. I'm like, oh, great. I'm like, I don't know Robbie. She's like, oh, he's my best friend. I go, I don't know Robbie. She's like, yeah, he's going to put a beard and the whole thing. He's going to be unrecognizable. I'm like, great. Call Christine.
Oh, my God. I'm going to kill you. all right, everyone. We're sweating in my closet.
Don't you have anything going on with you, Christine?
What do you mean?
Like, any stories from on your side?
Any stories from, like, my life?
Yeah. Today? This week? Besides the maggots?
Well, the maggots was bad.
All right. Well, we're out of time. We're going to get to Kelly Sullivan. Part
this is
two.
Kelly Sullivan, part two. And we had too many good and funny stories from part one. So now we had to break it up. You're going to hear a lot of how filming Too Close to Home happened, how she got the job, how it all went down. We talk a lot of Tyler Perry and his magical ways and how he makes so much television in the smallest amount of time possible.
And you're going to hear how I'm...
You're kind of crazy in this episode. Can I just say, were you like on something? Like
I was hungover, remember?
I know, but like you get kind of like amped up when you're hungover.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel like you're a little bit like, I mean, I feel like I'm better when I'm a little hungover.
Well, the problem is I just didn't understand that show.
Well, I get it, but I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. You're very amped in these episodes.
Well, you'll hear it for yourselves, and if you don't like it, it's fine. I take compliments and complaints.
Especially from your father.
Oh, he called, but I'll tell you about that next time.
Okay. This is Kelly Sullivan, part two, and you are listening to Worst
Pod.
Ever. Oh, my God.
Ever.
This is Worst Ever Podcast.
Ugh.
The worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
When we feel the pain is best or funny.
I got to talk TLC first.
We got to talk about TLC.
Yes.
So, Kelly, you were on a show.
Is it still happening, the show?
That's a very good question.
Tyler Perry's Too Close to Home.
Yeah, so Tyler Perry and TLC... teamed up for TLC's first scripted series that Tyler wrote, directed, produced.
Wow.
And he, I think the first season we did 8 episodes. And then the second season we did about 4 months later, which was 8 more episodes. And that was in October of this
year. Do they count
that
as a season 2 or they count as a B?
They sounded, oh, well, that's good. We thought it was a B, but I think we found out that technically it was season 2.
Good.
Yes. Okay. So then now we're just waiting to see if it will have a season 3.
And but they haven't aired season 2 yet, have they?
Yes, they aired it.
Oh, they
it.
Did? Okay.
They aired it, I think they aired it January, February.
I'm just curious, the process, did you audition for this show?
Yeah, so right after I left Young and the Restless, I did this Lifetime movie.
You didn't leave Young and the Restless.
I'm sorry, after
they
when
killed
I,
you.
They killed me. You're right, because okay.
Look, we're all about honesty.
Fair enough.
Your ass got killed.
Fair enough.
Okay.
After my ass got killed, on another body bag, like can't come back. I did a Lifetime movie, which was a whole other experience.
Wait,
there.
Is this the one? What's it called?
So it was called Stranger Inside, and they changed it to Give Me My Baby.
Yeah, okay, I saw that. Okay. I saw
we didn't
that.
Know which title we currently had. We
like they literally it. Changed it to Give Me My Baby.
And
like
you're the star of it.
I was the woman who had the baby inside of her.
Okay. And the fertility doctor tries to
the fertility doctor is cray cray.
Listen, I love a Lifetime movie.
Listen,
who was the exec on that movie?
It was Stan. That's a good question. So it was with Cartel Films, which is Stan Spry.
Yes.
Okay.
And Eric. I always say Eric Stone Street.
By the way, you're the worst with names.
Like I'm the worst.
Yeah, like you have mixed up everyone.
I know. I forget my dog's names a lot.
So listen to me.
Anyway.
Because I have to say this. When you make it into a Lifetime Movie of the Week, a Mao, as you say.
Yes. Well, they don't call it that anymore.
No, they don't call it Movie of the Week. But I will always forever call it a Movie of the Week, M-O-W,
Me
Mao.
Too. What do they call it now? It's like...
A Lifetime Movie.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's still a Movie of the Week.
I agree.
It's because...
It's what made you Lifetime.
Listen. It is true.
Yeah.
So but anyway, when you make it...
That's a huge step in the right direction career-wise. Do you know what I mean? Because now you're entering... You went from daytime. Now you're really entering that primetime world. Like, now networks are going to look at you in a whole different look.
Right.
Even though you were killed on Young and the Restless.
Even though I got... Even though I got body bagged out. Totally. So that was a crazy experience. We did the whole film in, like, 2 weeks.
As they do.
Right. Oh, my God.
Where'd you shoot? Vancouver?
No, we shot actually in L.A.,
Wow, they have a budget.
Yeah, and Brooke Hogan
was in it. Oh, great.
Hulk Hogan's daughter, Brooke Hogan, who's a sweetheart, and she was great.
She's a good singer.
Yes, and just pretty much the nicest person on the planet.
Great, I'd love to have her on the podcast.
Oh.
I would love a little Brooke Hogan. I can talk worldwide wrestling for hours.
Really? She's wonderful.
I did not know that about you.
But I watched her reality show and her parents' divorce on reality TV. I'm in it.
Well, yeah.
Brooke, I got your back, girl.
We love you, Brooke. And so then right after that movie wrapped, I went to New York for like a little vacation. And when I was in New York, I got a call that they wanted to see me for the show because I had auditioned for the show, which is called Too Close to Home. I had auditioned for it right before I left for New York for my vacation. When I'm in New York, they call and they say, of course, as life goes, oh, they want you to fly to Atlanta. Tyler wants to fly you to Atlanta to screen test for the show.
So they're flying you.
So they're flying me.
Okay, great.
And I said, oh, okay, well, I'm in Woodstock right now, which is really far away from any airport. Because they were like, can you get to the airport tonight by 6? It was kind of like something insane like that. And I said, no, I can't really make it there. It was Newark's like, you know, four hours away or 3 hours. And so they said, all right, well, can you fly out tomorrow morning? And so I did. So anyway, I flew out to Atlanta and he had flown about, I would say like 40, 45 LA actors out for the show to fill.
How many?
40 to 50.
What? He flew out 40 to 50 actors?
Put us all up in a hotel. And then shuttled us to his compound, his studio.
The studio that he built.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The studio that he built,
Wait,
yeah.
But 40 to 50, not for one part. It was for all the parts.
Yeah, so okay.
Yeah, but there's not that many parts on the show.
Well, there were like, 1, 2, 3, 4. There was probably like 9 or 10.
Yeah, so it's like probably
But specifically, there would be like, one role would have like 10, like the main girl who is the middle sister, who's Annie.
Right.
There were about 10 to 12 girls for that role.
Jeez.
For my role, there were 3.
Okay.
For the younger sister, there were about another 8 to 10. And also when they were there, he wanted to be able to say, okay, I want you to read for the younger sister now. Okay, now go read for the middle sister. And then there's a lot of male roles. So, you know, truth be told, they did have castings in Atlanta, but they just decided they wanted to fly out anyone that was put on tape and sent into Tyler.
I wish I would have put myself on fucking tape. I would have read.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, I'm not trying to be an asshole.
No.
Okay. Because
not trying to be, just is.
I am.
Okay.
Because I watched the show, and I'm looking at the caliber.
Which one?
Too close. The first season. First season. I'm gonna go there. Whoo, girl, You're telling me that they flew out 40 to 50 people to audition for these roles, and I could say there's like 2 to 3 people that maybe have talent on the show. No offense, that I like, and I'm including you in that.
Kelly,
in that.
You are very good.
You're
on the
good
show.
At
show. You're very kind.
But I'm going, how is that possible? Like, he had 40 to 50 people to choose from, and you're kidding me, right?
You know, that's it's
I mean, I'm not trying.
No.
Listen, I'm not. I love the art. I love the fact that it's happening. I love that he gives jobs and he, you know, Tyler,
yes.
I'm obsessed with Tyler Perry. I love most everything he does.
Yeah.
But I was like,
Well, tell him how it's shot. That might lend a little bit of insight.
Well, okay. I mean, because there's not a lot of, and yeah. I think it's one of the testaments to why Kelly's so good on it is because you've done a soap for so long.
Right.
I mean, they would, he would have these cameras, right? A couple of them, and they would start the scene in
The mom.
And then in the middle, listen, in the middle of the scene, he would be like, okay, stop, pause, move in, this angle,
keep for going. Real?
Yeah.
So, oh, so it was like soap.
Basically, let me give you an example of
what
season one was.
All right.
So about a week before we flew down to start filming, we got all 8 scripts at this basically like kind of at the same time or over the course of 2 days. And they were all emailed to us and we were told to just know everything. Because he shoots, he'll shoot out locations sometimes. So for example, anything and everything that takes place outside of Bonnie's trailer right by this front porch is going to try to be shot in 1 day.
Right. No matter what episode.
Correct. You could be shooting a scene from episode 2, 6, 3, 1, 8.
Right.
And it also has to do with time of day.
Right.
If it's shot at, you know, if it's during the day at nighttime. So I've never experienced that, not even on a soap, where I was given pretty much everything at once and told just know things. And I thought, that's impossible. Like, my brain cannot possibly.
So there's a lot of questions on the set. Like, okay, what just happened?
So the continuity, and there, and he does have people that are genius at that on set where you kind of go and say, you know, okay, what happened right before this? Was this before I did that scene with Brody? Like, was this before the kissing scene or is this after? And, you know,
it's hard to have a flow a little bit as an actor.
Right.
Just because you're not even in the same, sometimes the same episode.
Correct. And here's the other thing. Most of the things we did on season one, I would say 95% of that is one take.
Yeah. What?
I'm talking, there's no stopping at all. Like he says action and then you start and then you don't stop until the end unless there's a camera move, in which case as you're acting, he'll say stop. And then two handhelds will come in and reposition themselves and say, okay, go from there. And so you pick the scene up from that point, and then he'll say, stop again, get different coverage.
What if you have like a page and a half of dialogue? Like, how is that?
Sometimes you do. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really hard.
Here's the thing. Rough. Here's the thing that I thrived on it because, A, I think it's, I've had experience with having to work so fast. Like, when I first got on General Hospital, I was terrible. I was so scared. I was so terrified every second of every day that I was on that show for a minimum of 6 months. I would cry. I would go home. I wasn't sleeping. I was like, I can't do this. This is like torture. And I came from theater where it's like a collaborative process.
Right.
You start rehearsals. You go into tech. You go into shows. It's
You've
like you're working with the playwright.
Done that scene 40 times before, you know, an
audience
ever sees it.
They always say, if you can do a soap opera, 100%. You can do anything.
And I say, if you can do Tyler Perry, you can do anything.
Yeah.
Because
wow.
I had done a soap, 2 soaps. And when I went down there, I said, oh my God, this is like...
Well, there had to be some struggle with some of the actors because... I'm saying it because I know some of them. I know a few of them, and I know they're really green when it comes to doing a series. So that
must have
been.
I think there were a handful of people that this was their first.
Well,
like
then
you
and
said,
the one guy,
series.
He's not with the long hair.
Mm.
He had never acted before, right?
No, yeah, he had. Well, I think he had done the Boo movie, the Boo Halloween. Where he had
Tyler's Boo movie.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then he,
but he's like an Instagram.
Yeah.
Star.
So his story is crazy.
He man buns.
Brock O'Hearn was.
Are you sure that's his name?
Yeah, yeah. Brock O'Hearn with and he kind of got famous from his man bun.
Yeah, man bun. So he did this. I think he told me he did this Facebook video of him putting his hair in a bun. And that video
went viral.
Went viral. Like literally overnight. He had gone from like maybe like a couple hundred Facebook followers to hundreds and hundreds of thousands. And then he was like, oh, that's interesting. And he's a genius because he has learned how to create almost like this brand.
Yeah.
Which is not almost, it is a brand.
That's exactly what it is.
Based on this whole, this whole beginning of this man bun into, you know, this person that he's created. And man, oh man, he's got like 2.5 million followers on Instagram. And
yeah. I'd love to get him on the show too. I have a lot to talk to him about.
He has 2.7 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
But there are just, I mean, he basically looks like, how do I put this?
He's like the new, he's the new Fabio from, I Can't Believe It's Not
right,
Butter.
That's right.
Or from the romance model. Right.
Yeah, like it's kind of, like if there was Instagram when Fabio was like everything, this would have been the same
he's
thing.
Like it's kind the of, new version of Fabio.
Yeah. Game of Thronians.
I'll
like
tell
he's
you what,
got a little bit of that
anywhere I've ever gone with him, anywhere. Because we did a lot of press when we, when right after we filmed the first season, Danielle Savory, who plays the middle sister, he and I, we did a lot of press. And I'm telling you,
by the way, she's great.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
She's great.
She's wonderful. And anytime we go anywhere, 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 any airport, he would just, it's like people come up to him and I look like his like trolley assistant and they're like, like, well, excuse me, will you take a, will you take a picture? And I'm like, yes.
That happens to Christine all the time when we're around.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, that's really cute. I'm like going into a Brock O'Hearn K-hole. Yeah. I better just stop.
Yeah,
this.
See, you're obsessed.
And you know what? Just a wonderful,
now I'm obsessed.
Sweetheart of a person.
So, okay.
I love Brock O'Hearn.
So, wait, can we go back to the audition? So,
oh,
you
yeah.
test.
God, so, we tested. Muscles. Now, they had all of the heads of TLC there as well.
Okay.
So, it was like the decisions were happening in that room at that moment. We were going to leave. We were going to leave that day. Decisions were going to be based on that day of who was on the show.
And you're staying in Atlanta at that point?
Yeah, they... so they flew us in. I want to say like it was like a Monday night. They flew us in. All the actors got there at 6 p.m. And they had car services and we're all checking in at this hotel and we're all like looking at each
that
other.
That is
being
the
like,
weirdest thing.
Who's that person? Is that person auditioning for Bonnie? And
this is like an American, he should have documented this. It's like an American Idol.
Oh, it was it was actually very cool.
Yeah.
So then when we got there, we had to sign a bunch of things. We had to like sign waivers that we weren't gonna like. There's no pictures allowed on the set in the studio.
Total NDAs.
All the NDAs, non-disclosures.
So is your deal done based on this?
No.
Audition?
So we didn't sign deals at that point, which is I know it's not a very common way to do when you test usually. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's stupid on the production's point.
Correct.
I mean, right. They should have signed your deal.
Yeah.
So you're locked in.
Exactly. No, we just had to sign away everything else and our firstborn, and then we basically they were like, here's a per diem. Go have a dinner, and there will be a bus here to pick you up at 6 a.m.
Where in Atlanta are you? Because I love the Atlanta.
So I believe we were at near Brookhaven.
Yeah, we were staying... not like in Buckhead.
Oh, you weren't like in Midtown or Buckhead?
No. Well, actually, yeah, maybe we were.
That's not when you guys shot, though.
Buckhead and Brookhaven are close to each other, right?
I don't know the Brookhaven.
You know what? I think we were in Buckhead, actually. We were on that street, that main street.
Peachtree?
Yes.
There's like 75 Peachtree.
We were on Peachtree.
Yeah.
And anyway, so we woke up the next day at 6 a.m. The bus was there, and it said, if you're not out there by 6, if it's 6:01, you're gone. Like, we've left. So we all got out there. Bus picked us up, took us to the studio, and then we basically just filed, you know, they've walked us down to this holding room where there was, you know, food and water and sodas and everything, and they
crazy.
Just said, just wait here. And we will begin pulling people out at whatever time. And it totally took me back to when I was like 21, 22, my early 20s in New York, when you go to these cattle calls.
Yeah.
Right? Where you'd show up at like Except whatever
like
studio
in New
York.
The morning and stand in line.
Yep. And
this
then you would
crazy.
Sit there. And they would. And so what he would do is he was doing chemistry reads.
Of course.
So the big part of the test with these chemistry reads of, you know, let's see if I can pair this girl and this girl. Okay, they look good. Okay, now I want to bring this guy and this girl. Okay, that could work. So it was like this long day. Actually, it wasn't too long because I think they were all done around like 1:32.
Are they telling people, thank you, and go home in the middle of it?
Well, we couldn't really go because we were all there with the shuttle.
So everyone's just sitting around waiting?
Correct.
And but so like, now, imagine you go in once.
No, I
and
know.
Then like,
and you never go
in
again.
Other people
yeah.
are going in over and over
yeah.
and
that's
over.
Right.
And
like,
you're just...
How many times did you go in?
A lot. I went
so
in probably.
That,
well, it was just there were just three women,
you, so.
In you know, and then like 11 Annas and 8 Shelbys and 5 you know JBs and all that stuff.
I mean,
so
crazy.
So basically, they would have me come in. Basically, what happened was I was the last of the Bonnies to go in. They had the first girl, the second girl, and then me. So I was the last one to go in and. Once I went in, once I came out, I just kept going back in, And then they
same
would,
scene,
same scene.
And those other two were like, shit, sitting in
I mean,
the
shit,
waiting
I've
room.
Been there. I've been there 150 times.
Of
so
course.
I get that feeling. But, I just kept going back in with different, I was going in a lot with different Annas because I think, you know, they really wanted to get that character right. And you know, I could be wrong. There could have been 15 chicks there for Anna.
Wow.
I mean, it was a lot.
And are you having rapport like with Tyler? Like, are you guys at this point? You've gone in so many times. Are you like, is he giving you notes?
No, Tyler doesn't give notes at. He did not give any notes at the audition, and it's kind of cool because you kind of just go in there and we're working with Tyler. The thing that I really love about working with Tyler, I will have to say, is that he. Wants the person to create what they want. He
well,
wants
I
you
love
to...
Tyler because he's theater background. He's like created this, like that's what
yeah.
he's like he made
yeah.
like
he loves actors and
yeah.
he wants the actors to make choices and it's so it it's,
so
it gives
really,
you a lot of freedom.
It's good.
Oh,
so you're reading with
freedom.
Like 10 to 15 different Annas. Did you know who was getting cast?
You know, that's a really, so this, I love this because I was also having this like surreal experience of where I kept going in, you know, the different, a new girl, a different girl, a different girl, a different girl. So I'm sitting there thinking like, are they even looking at me at this point?
Right.
So now
right.
I'm participating in this person's audition.
Right.
Right.
So now I'm kind of like in a different place of.
You're like the reader almost.
I'm kind of like the reader.
Yeah.
And it was, but you know, obviously I have definitely gotten ahead of myself or I've been in an audition and be like, I nailed it. That's mine. And then they were like, you're definitely not getting it. But thanks for playing.
Right.
So, of course, you know, every time I went in there, I was like, all right, let's. But I was aware of there's like an energy in a room when everything's going well and things are good. And then there's just a different energy when it's just not like when you can just tell like the person just isn't what. Because I always say with auditioning, you're either the girl or you're not the girl. It's that simple.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, it's
but
out of your
are,
hands.
There are moments where you, and I can only speak for myself, where you, they didn't think that you're the girl.
Correct.
But you changed their mind and now the girl's different.
Which is what I think happened with me.
Great.
Because I think they were really set on the second girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when I went in, I think they were like, oh. And so you're right. So there's two things that happen in an audition. You walk in and from the second you enter the room, they're like, ah, oh, she's the one. Or you're like that wild card where they're like, oh, I didn't even anticipate it ever being like this.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Change of twist of fate there. This girl, whoa, you know. So, so I started to become aware that I thought like, wow, this, I think I might get this. This is crazy. And I was like texting my manager like, I don't know. This is like, I just get this feeling. I keep gone in like
35 times.
500 times and like,
normal.
And like, so then at the end of all of the auditions, when all of the people had been seen and they paired up all the things, they had like, they had like a couple people come in, like a group of people come in where they were taking pictures. And so
of
I was
you.
One of like of the group together.
Okay, got it.
I think they just wanted to kind of see how people looked as a group. So they called in myself, Danielle, and like 3 or 4 other people who I think almost all of them got the roles. But and I was standing and then they're like feeling like kind of like that scene from Rockstar when Mark Wahlberg gets the part. And then the first scene after that big audition where he gets the part, he goes to the photo shoot and he's like smiling and everyone's like looking like a badass rock star. And the photographer's like, stop smiling. Like, look like a badass. Like, be your character. Yeah. I've kind of had the moment where I was like, oh my God. I was like so excited, but I was trying to like still be professional to be like,
right,
whatever, who needs this part? Like, right. I'm just here. You know, it's like actors gotta play it cool.
Yeah.
You don't want to give off the vibe that you're like,
you can't be a dork.
You can't be a dork.
How many times did you take pictures?
So
did you do different, like three different groups?
There was like, I never left the room. So I can't, they pulled me in and
you're
then
the
they
only one that stayed.
There were like three people that stayed.
Okay.
Brock was one of them and Danielle was one of them. And then they were like, thank you guys so much. And so we walked back to we got our stuff, we gathered our things. We walked back to the shuttle and then the shuttle started driving us away. And, I'm looking down at my phone being like, oh my God, I could probably catch an earlier flight home. This is exciting. Mm-hmm. So
because you're supposed to leave that day.
Yeah, we were supposed to leave. I think our flights left at like 8 p.m. But at this time it was like 1:30.
Right.
And you know, the airport's like a half hour away. And so we got to the airport and I was like running through the airport. Atlanta is the worst airport in this country.
I love Atlanta Airport.
It's really hard to get to all the different
places. Security checks. I can't. The PF Chang's amazing.
Don't you have a TSA pre-check?
At that point, I didn't, but I do now.
The security at Atlanta Airport, every single terminal has to go through the same damn security.
It's the same one.
It's not like LAX.
It doesn't matter. It takes me 20 minutes to get through TSA pre-check there.
Well, because you're TSA.
I don't know how. Allah
Muhammad Afif Yusuf Khaled. Thank you. And I got TSA pre-check. $85. Get it.
Best
it's good
money
for 5 years.
I know.
F off, Christine.
It's pretty magical. Take off your shoes.
I don't need to because I have TSA pre-check.
Yeah, you don't have to take your shoes off.
No, I would just like you. I would just like you to take them off.
No, yeah. I'm not going to because I have TSA pre-check. So, okay, so don't
You're
talk about
through.
I love
okay,
Atlanta Airport.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I love Atlanta. So I get through. I'm like running to catch the next flight. I'm like, bye, y'all. And like all this whole day, we've all been sitting there in this room with all of these actors and, you know, who are kind of like, you want to be friendly and social, but then you're like, but this is also this person. Like, I want the job. You know, it's like it's very strange to be kumbaya with your competition in that situation. Yeah. But everyone was just so relieved the day was over and everyone was like, whoever gets it, awesome.
Bless and release.
Bless and release. So then I get home and as we land in LAX, I look at my phone and there's a message from my manager. He said, call me, please. So I call him and he said, well, you have an offer. Like I literally, it was like 3 hours later.
Awesome.
So then.
Well, it's a 5 hour flight, but okay.
Four and a half. Yeah, you're right. You're right. 5 hours later. You're so right. But the time change.
Yeah.
So then I was like, wow. And they're like, yeah, so you have the job and it'll start shooting in a month or like a month plus. And so I just kind of like they have a car service to take me home. And I got home and I walked in the door and I told Eric and I was like, I think I just got this job. And this is crazy. He's like, wait, the job that you just left like 5 hours ago? And
that's
I said,
amazing.
Yeah.
Well, isn't you usually great? Know, I mean, normally after a network test, they tell you
right away.
You usually know that night.
That's
now
true.
It's a little different. Like the last thing I tested for.
Well, it was that night.
Yeah.
Right. The thing I tested for this year, they now have started to put people on tape. And then they're showing the tapes to network instead of having to schedule all of these network readings.
Yeah.
I think it's easier for them to just get all the network executives in one room.
Yeah.
And then they go show by show and show all the tapes.
That's right.
So you'll know now like within a week because whenever they're showing your tapes.
I don't know if I like that.
Oh, I much prefer it.
You much prefer that than in person?
Yes.
Why?
Because I find the in-person network tests to be full of anxiety and basically what you went through. You
That's
have
true.
One shot. To do it absolutely perfectly. God forbid you stumble, you make maybe you know, they want to see you with different people.
That's true.
Then director wants to give you some notes.
Yeah.
Let's try it again. Oh, that was great. Yeah. Let's try it again. Just one more like this. Cause that's what it would be on the set. And they're putting you on tape and you have a couple of shots at it to get it perfect.
Yeah.
It's not
and
live
you know what? The
theater,
truth of the matter is this. Auditioning is not is entirely different. Than getting the job and working on
how
set.
That's what
you
we always
work.
Say. We said the work is the audition.
I actually
the
think
job
I'm not
fun.
A great auditioner.
Yes,
I'm a horrible auditioner.
I hate it.
And it's not. It's just a different skill set.
And I feel like I'm constantly feeling like a dork every time I walk in a room. It's just like, oh hi,
well, because
how are you?
All you want to do is please and please them and please them. You I almost want to go to the casting director. Look, I want to make this job much easier for you, because I don't have the balls to say this, but this is what I would like to say. I would love to make this job easier for you. What do you want?
Yeah, what do you want?
Because I will do that for you, but I just need to know exactly.
Because there's so much guesswork.
What do you want?
That goes in. Right.
Let's
let's
cut your day in half.
Yeah, I don't actually think they know.
I actually sat down. So I have two things to say. A couple weeks ago, I auditioned for this project where I was flying a helicopter.
Wait, in the
entire scene, I was flying a helicopter.
So how are you improvising that?
Like, it was a disaster.
So are you holding the sides?
Oh, I was being, my dad was like, you hold with one hand, you hold the, it's like a joystick in between. So it looks like your hands are down your pants.
Or you're just jacking.
Or you're just like
off
moving.
So you're doing this and doing the sides.
It was a 5-page scene where I was.
No!
Where the person in real life would be sitting next to me, but because it's not real life, the reader was in front of me, but I had to pretend like he was next to me.
Right.
It was a disaster.
Oh, what was that for?
The Last Ship.
Oh, yeah.
The TNT
show.
Oh, okay.
And it was like this fast talking, hard as nails broad. It was like, no, this is just. This is.
My friend Bridget Reagan's on that show.
The guy who did Transform, Michael Bay.
Oh, yeah. Great.
So it was just, and I when I got the audition, I was like, fuck me. I'm flying a helicopter, which is not the quietest thing.
No, yeah. and so are you yelling in the audition?
And also the room is the size of a closet. So how loud am I going?
So you get in the room and they're like, okay, so be in a helicopter?
Yeah, he was like, so do you have any questions? And I was like... no, let's just do it. He's like, okay, well, let me just talk to you about some stuff. So you're flying a helicopter, obviously. I said, yep. He's like, okay. So, you know, so the person would normally be sitting to your, because you fly on the right. He'd be right. Sitting to your left. But since, you know, for purposes of the audition, I'm going to be sitting in front of you. But don't look at me. So you're flying. But he was sitting right next to the camera. So I start and my first line's like, hey, would you mind leaning back a little bit? And this casting director goes, stop. And I said, what? He goes, it's loud. You're in a helicopter.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, does this guy want me to scream this entire 6-page audition?
6 pages?
There were no other scenes they could pick.
And the guy, my scene partner in the scene, played by Eric, Mr. McSteamy from Grey's Anatomy. Not Patrick, but Eric Dane.
Eric Dane. I know Eric. He's
so
great.
So he's sitting,
Sweetheart,
he's supposed to be sitting next to me, and
stop,
he's got like one
I
word answers.
The names, honey.
He's lovely. it was a disaster.
Oh my God, that's the best audition. I mean, it's the best worst audition ever.
And I remember thinking, this is so horrifying, and I can't imagine the tapes that these producers are getting with
these
girls.
You're flying a helicopter. It's loud. Yeah.
So much like shaking, like yelling.
And he's like, don't move around so much. No, you got to move around more. Don't forget you're flying. Okay, look straight, like look around, like, you know, like you're looking around. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not going well. Didn't get that audition.
Did you get a call back?
No, well, they were casting it off tape.
Oh,
so it
were?
Was like.
Is this just for a guest star?
It was like a recur.
Oh, great.
It was like a really...
Did you go in for this, Christine?
No, I don't fly helicopters in auditions, apparently. I'm too short. I look... Yeah,
I mean, it's hard enough to get like a driving scene, but a helicopter scene?
It's just... That's what kills me about also some of these castings. It's like, listen, hey, assholes, use your imagination. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've seen my resume. Like, let me do the scene, right? We'll put it in someplace else. It doesn't have to be in the helicopter right now.
Right.
Just see me act.
Right.
Use your imagination.
Right.
If I'm in a helicopter, trust me, it's going to work out that I'm in a helicopter.
Oh, wait. Also, there was a point in the middle of the scene where the propeller was like kind of slowing down and I'm supposed to be pounding on the ceiling of the helicopter.
Like mime work.
Why? Oh, God. Yeah.
I hope you book this.
I did. They gave it to someone else. Clearly.
Well, I
gave it to someone else.
We have to find out what episode.
I can't wait to see this episode, honestly. God.
And you know what? That scene's probably cut.
Yeah, right. Probably never even made it.
They're like, we can't afford the helicopter, so we're not using it. She's now on a sailboat.
But like, I think also at the end of the day, I know that show shoots super fast.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're, I think they, I mean, for them to have an actress pretend like, she, like that's never ever been in a helicopter, look like she, like that she's actually, I mean, come on. You got to have someone who's a helicopter pilot. right? Yeah. Well,
but you don't have training. No, you're not going to be like...
You have Brock, who's never acted, who puts a man bun, and he's doing two seasons of a TLC show.
Well...
So, there you go. Well, you don't.
I think the worst thing I ever had to do... Well, the only one that's popping in my head, I'm sure there's plenty more. I went in for some... character was I think it was just a guest star on a show, but it was like sort of a Black Swan sort of episode. So she's like a vindictive ballerina. Great, sure. I'm tiny. Yes, I have a dance background. Like I'm
dancer
thinking
body,
myself.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this one actually maybe I could, this isn't too bad. So we do the scene first, and they said in, you know, when you get your appointment sheet, it's like sides attached. Also, asterisk, special notes, they may ask you to do some light ballet improv in the room. And I'm thinking to myself, great, no problem. I take cardio bar. So it's a ballet-based dance class.
I've taken it with both of you, too.
I know, and you're amazing.
Thank you.
You're the best thing in that class.
I know.
So I'm thinking, yeah, I'll just do a little cardio bar warm-up, and that will look great. Doing that in my head felt a lot better than me doing the scene and watching this casting director and this older male producer who looked like he did not want to see anyone doing any ballet. And they're like, so can you just do, great, we'll just do the ballet improv section? And I was like,
no.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to just do it right? Yeah, wherever you're comfortable, just some, that would be great. And I start doing it, and I just feel like
an ass. Yeah.
I think I was using the back of the chair like it was a bar, and I'm trying to do like tandu, 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 shashma. And I was like, I'm out of here.
Oh, my God.
Get me out of here.
You made a mistake.
Nope.
I would have done a
magical
PK Batma pirouette.
Oh, yeah. Double turn.
I would have done a tombe para glissar assemblé moment.
Look at you.
Oh, I would have done it, honey. I'll
somebody's
for you
showing
right
off
now.
Right now.
Somebody put movement for dancers.
Let's see it. Tombe para burré glissar assemblé.
That was... disgusting.
That was really worth it. That was worth the price.
I had
of admission.
To one time show my ass crack in an audition.
No, you Stop just it. Showed your ass crack.
No, but I literally, they asked for it.
Why?
Oh, I had a Budweiser commercial audition. And I guess it was for a Super Bowl spot, I think. And it wasn't, there was no note about ass cracks. There's no, they just want.
Oh my God.
So I go in. And the guy's like, okay, so can you turn around and pull down your pants some? And I go,
no.
What do you mean? He's like, I start laughing, thinking he's joking. He goes, no, we need to see the top crack of your ass. And I'm like, for what? He goes, it's part of the spot. He's supposed to open the beer bottle with his ass. I go, you really want to see my hairy ass crack? He's like, yeah. And I go, is this legal?
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
He's like, he goes, that's what they want. So I literally turn around and I was like, okay, here you go. And I showed him my ass crack.
Oh, my God.
Did you get the job?
I did not.
Okay. Well, that's violating. Have you ever had to kiss someone in an audition?
One time. And I smoke. So it's not a good, so I was like, I can't do this.
I auditioned for like this, I don't know if it was Zales or one of those.
Yeah,
it was like
it's always a diamond.
A Christmas
or
commercial of like a couple getting engaged. And I swear to God, I made out with like, because they were pairing up different
And they
people.
Want you like in those
to
diamond
kiss,
commercials.
Actually kiss.
They say, here's what we need you to do. You need to come together and kiss and you need to hold the kiss.
Yep.
Because like the camera would be doing a 360 around you. So yep. We need to know what it's going to look like. That's
that's amazing when you're like, hi, introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Kelly. What's your name? My name's Dave. Okay. Then right away you're kissing.
We got to get Megan on the show to tell her.
Yes.
Her
that's,
story.
That's a great story. But also my first commercial I ever booked was a Carl's Jr. commercial. And it's not like McDonald's where it's like bite, smile, and then you're done. You know what I mean? It was during the, if it doesn't get all over the place, messy one.
Oh, God. Oh, no. With like all that like barbecue sauce.
Two
and
days
gross.
Of eating, because there's no spit buckets.
Ew.
No. The way they shoot it, it's like they want you eat. 2 days of, and I tell you, I arrived at set and there was trays this high of hamburger meat. Because that's how many
Gross.
Burgers we were going to go through.
Gross.
I Literally did not, I couldn't look at Carl's Jr. for years. And then at lunch, imagine going to lunch after eating all that.
Uh-uh.
I was like, I can't. I go, just get me a bottle of Perrier and let's call it a day.
Oh. Yeah,
we fucking put up with a lot of bullshit in this field. But well, we make but good then, money then, when it's good money. It's good.
Well,
money.
Then they have like the spit bucket. So my husband did a Burger King commercial. I should have him tell this story, but he did a Burger King commercial a couple years ago.
Oh, I remember that spot.
Yeah. And he became like the BK King or something. I don't know, some stupid thing. Anyway, but they had him eating breakfast sandwiches. And then, of course, you know, they've got the like poor guy who comes over and is just like, okay, spit it out now. Like that guy's job.
Oh,
I don't know
God,
who gets
that guy.
Who gets the short end of the stick that day.
Real quick, back to Tyler Perry. Because I'm not done with that.
I'm like in the middle of
I don't care. It's so boring. Listen to me. Did like, you ever meet Oprah?
So rude. You know what?
For Oprah?
I mean, I'll drop anything for Oprah, but fine.
Did you meet Oprah?
I did not meet Oprah.
Oh, well, what was the suspense for?
I really wanted to meet her because I do know that at one point she'd come onto the set for, I believe, well, you know, we're not on OWN. We're on TLC.
I know that you're on TLC, but they're so, best friends.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
And
so,
think,
did she ever just come over to hang out?
No, and I
wish.
Think, and
I
think
really
that she
wish.
Owned a piece of his production company. I think she's part. I think she
I
had,
know he's like a he's like a co-owner of OWN.
Oh, maybe it's the other way around.
And,
yeah.
But anyway, she did. She has come to set before when they are filming the shows that are on OWN,
right.
And she's just like the most kind person, apparently.
Yeah,
and,
of course she's Oprah.
Like so. Yeah, but like so starstruck about what's going on there of the acting and all the things and.
So you did season two. Season two is different than season one. You're trying to tell me that I should go back and watch.
Well, season two, they added. He added like six new characters to the trailer park community.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
And some lovely, wonderful, wonderful people, my friends, and they were thrown into this like whole thing. And it's so funny because you see their eyes glaze over.
Because you're still shooting it that way?
Even well, they don't, because no one knows the fucking Eye of Sauron vortex you're stepping into until
right.
you're there.
Right.
I want to do this show so
you
bad.
Don't understand what's happening to your soul and your life and everything until you're actually there. Like, no one, I cannot describe to you what it's like, the pace they move. And also, you're working like on a set, like outside in the humid, you know,
yeah.
Atlanta weather yeah. for. And there's no, like, we don't, like, we rarely stop. If you have to go to the bathroom, you better hope it's on a scene that you're not working on. Like, it's fast paced. And he does that because he'll shoot like, you know, eight episodes in 7 days.
That's crazy.
Wait, how long were you there for the season?
So I would always go up the week before because that was the time we would get our scripts, or sometimes, like, a couple times we didn't have, like, the script for episode 7 and 8. Until like 2 days before we were going to shoot it, which always like all I want is just the scripts. Then I can start learning, mm-hmm. then I can start memorizing. And but you know we wouldn't have that sometimes, so I would always go up the week before, and whatever I had, I would just run and work with the actors that were there. And then once we start filming, you're doing an episode or more a day.
So you're done with an entire season in like less than 2 weeks.
In less than 2 weeks.
In 7 days. We did 8 episodes in 7 days. And then we...
What are the hours?
Oh, God. Well, it depends. Like,
is this a union job?
Yes. But, yeah.
I mean, long hours.
Yeah,
but
long hours.
But it's like shooting. I mean, you would shoot an entire soap opera in a day.
Yeah.
It
would
shoot
an entire hour-long soap.
It's different because it's not...
Like, we shot like this. It was like a 17 or 18-page scene that involved no less than 20 people. For example, season two took place over the course of... Like, 8 episodes took place over the course of, like, from nighttime to day. It was, like, one day transpired in 8 episodes. So for most of the time, we were shooting at night. So we would have a late call. We would shoot till very late in the night, go mm-hmm. home, sleep, wake up, later call. And it's okay, so I was saying, so we had an 18-page scene with no less than 20 people. And I looked at Tyler and I said... He had it on the schedule first up, and then because every day they give us the dailies, the mm-hmm. daily schedule, mm-hmm. and that scene was first up, that 18-pager, and then he had like 12 other scenes after that. And I'm thinking,
this scene's going to take us, we're not going to finish this scene tonight. This
normal productions would do a 17-page scene over the course of 4 days.
Yeah.
Normal productions.
3 days.
Normal productions do 4 pages a day.
I was going to say, it's about 4 pages a day.
We do about 70.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. 70. And we've done more. And haves and have-nots, as other show has done, like, eight in the 80s.
But haves are have...
Oh, my God.
That's a soap, too. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so he looks at me and he's like, no, we'll knock this out in about an hour or less. I said, Tyler, there is no way. I said, how much you want to bet? And I'm like, poor next to him. Yeah. But I was like, come on, like, let's do a wager. He's like, I'm not going to bet you. I said, there's no flipping way. And he said, all right, well, we'll see. We shot that thing in less than an hour, 18 pages.
Oh my God! I would love
with
to
so
watch
many camera,
him
so work. Many camera moves.
How many cameras?
He'll have about five, and okay. He always has one master, and then he'll have like
but
two.
But where is he shooting the master from?
Like, I know that's the thing. How are you not getting other cameras in your shots all the time?
I don't know. It's like watching a magical wizard because I don't get it either. The master will. Oh, there's never even a boom in the shot. His crew
I don't understand
is so.
That.
He must be a network's good. Dream. They're I'm, probably like.
Oh, are you kidding me?
We'll buy 15 of your
that's
shows.
That's exactly right. You won't even see like we never stop. Every once in a while, he'll go booms in the shot, and then he won't say it for the rest of the.
And
day.
And then that person.
What happens when
is
the actor?
Dead in a body
what happens when the actor? Because you know what happens is that sometimes we have those days where like we can't get the words out, like it's not. What happens when that happens?
You go home in a body bag. Like, he doesn't really ask you back.
It's
like,
really bad.
He gets
I mean,
pissed?
Well, yeah, because, you know, there's just no time.
He's like on. He's
but
like,
the soaps
be
are the same,
bus,
too. The
soap's the bus at 6 a.m.
Yeah, but you have to understand. You know, I'm telling you, I've seen the cast. I know some of those cast members are very green. Okay, there's no way that they are capable of doing Tyler Perry's schedule and giving
and
a performance.
I know.
And not fucking up. It's
well,
impossible.
Well, that's the thing is once you get nervous or you get in your head or you think, you know, you start to panic, you know, the brain stops. So I don't know.
You have never obviously been on the receiving end of that.
Well, you know what? There were a couple moments. There was one scene where it was the three sisters and our mom, and we were doing a scene in her trailer. This was season two. And it was like, I think it was like episode 6 where we do this big confrontation scene with Jolene where we walk in and Shelby's like, you know, why can't you just admit that that you sold us for sex and that you did all these terrible things? And Jolene's like, denial, denial, denial. And this
scene, Jolene, she's so in denial. Go ahead.
Yeah, so in denial. And so the scene was another like a monster of like 18 to 20 pages with, you know, the four of us just going back and forth. And it was extremely quick, fast paced. You know, there would be like a couple long speeches here and there. And when I come to a long speech, I'm like, oh, thank you, God, because then I can at least take a second and then know that I have, you know, I can memorize that. But when it's like short interjections.
Oh, yeah.
And
because you have to know
like,
everyone else's lines.
Exactly. And there are things like, why did you do it? Did what? Don't say what? What do you mean? You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. You're a liar. Don't say that, Shelby. You are, Mama. Shelby, leave the room. Mama, I hate you. I want you to admit it. I ain't admitting anything. Shelby, get the hell out of here. So those types of like dialogues where you're like, if I don't say my lines, there's no scene.
It's a timing.
Yeah.
And,
that's
you know, so
berserk.
When they say action. So anyway, this one particular day, it was all of us. And I remember they did do Mama's coverage first because she was sitting on the bed and not moving. So they
she
did
doesn't
her coverage
move, Mama.
First. Right. So then they came around to our coverage, and I swear on all the things that I believe in, I could not remember my name. I couldn't remember.
It doesn't surprise
me, to be
honest.
I don't know where I am. I'm like blackout.
I don't know why you think I'd be surprised. There's like, not one name you've remembered all day.
I'm like, where's Whoopi when you need her? Cheryl Underwood, Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah. And it was just... And so what happens is, you know, with Tyler, like you have room with him to like have like a moment or two every once in a while. But, and he was just very kind to me that day because I just couldn't remember. And I would pause and he would say the line or the scriptee would say the line for me. And I would say, oh, right. Okay. Sorry. And but it was just every time the line came to me, I couldn't remember. And then I would like skip a page. I would like skip two pages ahead to a totally different section.
Oh, God.
And all the actors were looking at me like,
where are we? Oh, no.
And it was just like, I remember it was just like one of those. And I had a moment like that once on General Hospital where I call it the white room. I go into the white room and I can see nothing but white. And normally like the clicker in my brain is just empty. And
I've got to get on this show.
It was just panic.
If it gets picked up, it was Mayday. I have to audition for the show.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Can you do a country, Alabama accent?
Girl, I'm from New Orleans.
Isn't it Nolans?
It's New Orleans.
It's New Orleans.
It's not Nolans.
No, Nolans is not. No, and then I can go Cajun if you need me. Hey, baby, how you doing? You look good. You got the acorn from the acorn tree? Yeah.
That's amazing.
All right, boo.
Wait, you're from New Orleans?
I'm from New Orleans.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So
this has been fascinating. This is like, yeah. So when do we find out if you get a pickup?
I think we'll hear about September.
I want you back if you have the pickup, and I want you back if you don't have the pickup.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's other stories that you have, too, that we have to, cause like, we have to tell that New York story at some point.
I have to tell the New York
story. I
have so many New York stories that are.
So we have to have you back.
When
so
you live in New York by yourself for 7 years,
yeah,
before, like 7 years pretty much solo before I met my boyfriend at the time, so.
No, and you live next to a crack dealer. Yeah. Things are about to happen.
I live next to the drug lord of Upper Manhattan.
Yeah. Unlike, what was it, Cox Street or something?
Yeah. Seaman and Cummings.
Seaman and Cummings.
One block north of Dyckman.
That's the best story. So you guys.
Also bed bugs. Yeah. My extra neighbor gave me bed bugs.
Don't tell anymore. Because we're going to have Kelly back.
Okay.
Was just for the before they were famous stories. Yeah,
before they were famous. Kelly Sullivan, everyone. How do we find you, Kelly?
Well, I live in the Valley. No. You want me to give my address? My phone number?
Your Instagram.
Oh, my
Twitter.
Instagram is Whoopi Goldberg.
No, it's not.
My Instagram is Kelly Sullivan Official, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but
no,
I think
right.
It's that.
You're right.
And my Twitter, which I'm rarely on, actually, is Kelly Sullivan NY. Long story. I can't even. And I can't change it. Which, whatever. And then Facebook is Kelly Sullivan Official. And, you know, I really like the Instagram stories.
Any jobs coming up that we should look out? Any shows that we should watch?
Oh, didn't you just do something with...
Oh, I did. Yes, I did a movie with Denzel Washington.
Oh, great.
I know. Isn't that a
feature?
Yeah, we can talk about that. It's a feature film. It's his big new feature film called Inner City.
Oh, great.
When I got to flirt with Denzel. And Colin Farrell's in it, too.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think that will come out probably in the end of the year.
Great.
That's awesome.
I might be doing a film called The Road Trip. It's just going to be like a feature film done by a new up-and-coming screenwriter, and she's also directing it. So, but we'll see. I don't know if that's going to conflict with if Too Close to Home goes forward.
It doesn't matter. Too Close to Home is like 2 weeks.
Right.
It's like they can work around
Hopefully
anyone can work around
but
the Tyler Perry schedule.
But no, when they say to me, it's on, it's happening, I go into... I go into this mode of like as soon as I get my scripts, I don't leave my house for
hundreds of pages.
I don't go anywhere. I don't
listen.
I fall off the face of the earth because it's just you don't have time to forget your lines.
Yeah,
you don't have time to look at anyone and say, "Where am I?" Like Zoolander, who am I? You don't have any time to do that. So
all right, well, we'll have to have you back.
Yeah, I'd love to.
I have a feeling you're going to have a lot more stories.
I know. Thank you so much, Kelly.
I love you guys.
I love you.
So much.
All right, let's go have some hair on the dog. I think I need a beer.
Yes.
I might have to have
Pedialyte?
I need Pedialyte.
Yeah.
Okay.
With vodka?
No, I really just want some
Pedialyte.
I can
make you a Pedialyte cocktail.
Do you have Pedialyte?
Yeah. I have a child. Obviously, I have Pedialyte.
I don't know. The way you've treated her, I'm surprised you have food
oh,
for her.
Oh, shut up.
Aww, all right.
I love Kelly. Thank you.
I love you.
You can catch Christine at?
At Yo Lakin on all social media. You can catch Alec at?
Allah. At Alec Led.
Yeah, see? It
just
doesn't
fuck off,
get
Christine.
Or
doesn't
Cardio get, Bar. Find us at Cardio Bar.
Cardio Bar.
We're soul cycling if you want to join us.
I hate soul cycle.
Have you done it?
I haven't done soul cycle,
okay,
but I've done
soul cycle.
I've done bicycling classes, and
but
I want to jump off and throw the bike out
Christine
the window.
Tell her.
It's hell
on wheels.
She said the
I know.
Same thing. She said
what
the
is
same
fun
thing.
about bicycling?
It's not bicycling. I
Your
don't bicycle.
Vagina hurts so bad.
I have a fake testicle.
Okay.
It hurts more.
He yells at all the instructors.
I scream at the instructor. You would have a blast with me.
Who's your favorite teacher?
I don't have one. I hate all of them. That's the whole point. It's so fun. I'm not kidding.
All right. I'm going to tell you what. When they say keep wrenching the freaking lever to get harder and harder.
No, don't do that.
I just cheat. I just do whatever I want.
And then they say we can't stand up. And even though standing up is easier and I have to sit down, I want to set the room on fire.
I know.
So
I want to throw up.
I'll go
with you. Come with. Yeah, we're going. It's Pasadena. We're going to go together.
Okay, fine. Steven, you can come too. Don't forget, you can check out Steven at Steven Ray Morris on all of his social. Let's just go have a talk cocktail. We can continue talking about cycling.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Love everybody. Bye.